I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you, and I will never, never desert you. For lo, I am with you forever and ever. And if you say,
praise God. This is the Word of Faith Netcast. This is Dr. Bill Bailey, and I'm glad you could join us once again this week. We want to continue with our message that was recorded from Dr. Gary Price's TV broadcast, The Message of Victory. It's been over a year ago now that I was a guest on his broadcast and recorded these sessions, but I think they're very timely with what we're talking about being an ambassador, being a new creation in Christ Jesus. And so, let's go into this message as it was recorded during the Message of Victory.
Price, welcome to the Message of Victory. And I have with me again today as my guest, Dr. Bill Bailey. Dr. Bill goes, and I go way back into the 80s, and we just love God. We have gone through a lot of things in our lives. You've gone through things in your life, and I have. And we're still going down two tracks, but we're still doing the gospel. We're still preaching the Word of God. And you and I haven't changed one iota, I don't think, as far as our basic beliefs in 20 years. So,
right. Or even longer.
Longer than that.
Probably
it's been longer than that.
I
almost have to stop and calculate.
Yeah.
But God is a good God. And Bill and I were talking last week about... Actually, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, Brother Bill, let's go from there and try to do a little more about what we did last week and just kind of catch up. You might want to just recap just a little.
Yeah, what we're talking about is that we are, as believers, we're in Christ. And the thing about being in Christ, a lot of people don't realize that that means we take on His personality, mm-hmm. His manner. We have access to His ability. A lot of people say, you know, well, do you believe in miracles? I don't see how you could live today and not believe in miracles.
That's right.
Or the supernatural, because Jesus is supernatural. God is supernatural. Supernatural means above and beyond the natural. It stands to reason that God is above and beyond the natural. Mm-hmm. It's part of what makes Him God.
Yeah.
Well, if we're like Him, we ought to be above and beyond. We ought to be in Him. Now remember, all of this is because we're in Him. We're not elevating ourselves. We're not saying we're better than anybody else. Literally, in the natural, we are absolutely no better than anyone else.
Yeah.
In and of myself, I cannot accomplish anything worthwhile. I'll just tell you that straight out. I may have certain natural abilities here and there, and everybody does. Everybody's very. That's fine. But the things that I've been able to participate in that are worthwhile at all stem from the fact that I'm in Him.
Yeah.
Come from His power, His ability. So that takes all the ego out of it. You know, a lot of people say, well, you Word of Faith people, you're egotist. You're just so full of yourself. No, I'm full of Him.
Yeah.
I'm full of God. And if I'm so full of God, it's going to come out. And when it comes out, it's going to come out supernaturally. And you're going to see a difference in my life. It sounds arrogant. I don't mean it to sound arrogant. It's just natural that if I'm walking in God, I'm going to be different than the world.
Yeah.
And the Bible teaches that. I mean, that is not a stretch at all. To understand that we are not of the world. We are still in the world, but we're not of the world. So we're in Him. Now, all the old things, all of what that I used to be, all that's passed away. All things are become new. All things are of God. Well, if they're literally of God, again, that takes the ego out of it, as we were talking about.
But now notice what it says, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. It's by means of Jesus, not by means of me, not by means of my ability, not by means of even my faith. Even my faith is a gift of God.
That's right.
I mean, the faith I use to believe to receive, God gave me.
Yeah.
That faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So when I hear the Word preached, and I receive it into my heart, that's where that faith comes from, to do what God said do. So all of that has come through Jesus Christ. God's reconciled us to Himself. Now look what it says. And He hath given us a ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And that ministry is not, you know, God's called me as a Bible teacher. That's primarily my function. God told me in August of 1980 to proclaim the Word of Faith, to be a showcase of ministries, to train people to fulfill the Word of God. That vision that He's given me, I have grabbed a hold of and I've never let go. I've never changed off that vision. That's what He's told me to do personally. Now, all of us have some personal area that God's dealt with us in. And He supernaturally gave me that word one night before I was about to preach it at the church I was pastoring in Salisbury. And He set me down and gave me that vision, and I've been walking in it ever since. And I've taken a lot of information, a lot of direction from that vision. But the thing is, He's not going to sit everybody down and give them a specific calling like a ministry, teacher or pastor or whatever. You may not ever be in the fivefold ministry. I know you are as a pastor. I am as a teacher. There are others out there that have callings on their life. But every Christian is called into this ministry of reconciliation.
Yeah.
And here's what it is. This is verse 19. To wit, or to know, that's a King James phrase for saying to know or to understand. To know that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. Ooh, my. You could preach a couple weeks right there. Because look what it says. God in Christ reconciled the world. You notice in John 3:16 it says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, the whosoever is the person in the world.
Yeah.
The gospel is to the people that aren't born again. Now let that sink in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Once you're born again, you're in the family of God. Once you're born again, you're in Christ Jesus. Once you're born again, you're part of this. But the gospel that we preach is to the world. But here's what He wants us to know. God was in Christ reconciling the world, that's the people that aren't born again,
mm-hmm.
the people that are in sin, the people that are adulterers, murderers, and everything else, the people in the world unto Himself, and here's the good news, ooh, good news, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Now let's put that in good old plain North Carolina English. He's not holding anything against you.
That's right.
He has just wiped the books clear.
Mm-hmm.
All the sin you've ever committed, He's not imputing that. He is not keeping record of that. And He hath committed unto us, again talking about the believers, He's committed unto us this word of reconciliation. We're to go out and tell the world that God's not holding anything against them.
Yeah.
Now here's the part that to me, if you thought about it the wrong way, could be sad. Because God's not holding the sins of the world against them. Yet if they don't receive Jesus, they will die in their sin and end up in hell.
Yeah.
Yet, God's not holding their sin against them.
That's right.
Now that is tragic on the one hand, but it's exciting news on the other hand. Because what it literally says is what Jesus did on the cross took care of the entire sin problem, capital S sin problem.
Mm-hmm.
That whole problem has been dealt with. The world has been reconciled. Notice, past tense, has been reconciled. Nothing else has to happen for the world to be born again. The only thing they have to do is receive that simple truth. And what we're to do as ambassadors, that's what it's going on to say here in verse 20. Now, we then as ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. Notice there the word ambassador. When I see, if I were a sovereign nation like the United States, and I send an ambassador to a country, that ambassador goes to that country to represent the country he's been sent from, and to be a resource to the people of that country that want to deal with the United States. If I were an ambassador to China, a Chinese person could come to the embassy, ask for the ambassador, and when he speaks to the ambassador, he is in effect speaking to the United States.
Yeah.
Whatever request, maybe it's for sanctuary, political asylum, the ambassador could say, I grant you political asylum, you stay here with me, and because you're here in the embassy, it is American soil, they can't touch you out there. No matter, they may have a death threat on you here in China, but you're protected right here because yeah. you are under the authority of the ambassador mm-hmm. that has been sent to that country. Well, here it says we are ambassadors.
Yeah.
The world looks at us and sees the ambassador. The world looks at our church, our home, our place that we are as the embassy. Mm-hmm. They come to us and they may be asking for healing. We've had people come to our church who weren't born again, and they come up front to receive healing. They get healed supernaturally. We had a guy healed of cancer, inoperable terminal cancer. He came back 2 years later and testified that he was totally free of cancer and then said, oh, and by the way, I want to get born again.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, think about this. Think yeah. about this. Here's a man out in the world. He hears that he can come to a church and receive his healing. So he yeah. does. He gets totally free, totally healed. And then 2 years later comes in and says, oh, yeah, I want to get born again. You say, but that's crazy. He's not born again. How did he get healed? Because he came to the embassy.
Yeah.
He asked for political asylum. He said, I don't like what my master's been doing to me, what my country's been doing to me, because the devil's the god of this world, little yeah. G-O-D.
Right.
He was receiving the benefit of being in that system. But he came to the embassy and said, I want to see the ambassador. The ambassador said, I grant you asylum, be healed, he's healed. Well, then he says, I want to be a citizen of this country. And so then he receives Jesus, now he's born again. That's how it works.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to be doing, is recognizing the calling we have on us as ambassadors of God's kingdom here on the earth, so that we can live out and demonstrate to people the very nature and life of God, because that's we're filled with the Zoe life of God. We just shine out the ministry of reconciliation to people, and people see that and they are hungry for it. Mm-hmm. And it's no wonder when they come to you and say, what do you have I don't have?
Brother Bill, don't you think that the church, the Christian community, let me say it this way, the religious community.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think the religious community has made this thing too hard? And instead of trying to just simply come as you are before the Lord Jesus Christ mm-hmm. and accept Him as your Lord, we try to get in here and theologize everything in the Bible before we can get some kind of understanding that God would even accept us.
Yeah, and use language that alienates everybody because they don't understand it.
Yeah.
Exactly. And they've not only made it hard, they've lost sight, religious community particularly, has lost sight of what God wants us to do. They're so caught up in their own thing, whatever it might be. You know, I could get on a preach fit here on this. But
no, we don't want you to offend everybody who's watching now. I mean, the part of the people who's
yeah.
watching.
Let me just say it this way. I drive by a particular church in the city where I live, and this church has a very nice sign that changes. It's an electric sign. And it says, join us for Starbucks coffee. Cappuccino in Christ. And as I drive by, I call that church. Now, I'm not going to name the name of the church. I'm not going to say what it was. But I call that church the first church of the cappuccino.
Okay.
And the reason is, they're always emphasizing their coffee.
Yeah.
I've never once seen them say that you can come in and get born again. I've never once seen them say, come in and get healed. They say, come in and enjoy our Starbucks coffee. I kid you not. Now, I'm sure that when they got off on that tangent, which, by the way, they've been on now for at least 3 or 4 years, when they first got off on that tangent, I'm sure they thought it was a good thing. But now it's got to the point that it's gotten a little silly. They're emphasizing the wrong thing. What maybe started off as a good thing has now warped itself, and that's the way religion has done things.
Yeah.
They've taken up maybe a little bit of a good idea, kind of a germ of an idea, and then they twisted it into something that's unrecognizable as gospel.
Yeah.
I'm all for having a good cup of coffee, don't get me wrong, but that's not what we're here for, is to deliver good coffee.
That's right.
We're here to get them born again. We're here to be a resource for them to come in under our wings, if you will, and be taught the Word of God and live the Word of God the way we should be doing it and getting their needs met.
Yeah.
Well, that's exactly what it's about.
We really need to realize that we do come to Jesus just simply as we are, and He does with us what only He can do. And we just rest in all of that and get rid of our religious, theological understanding.
Yep.
And quit trying to intellectually figure everything out in the Word of God, because God cannot be figured out intellectually. But He will do this. He will take a man who doesn't know anything, has no education, and I've seen people that knew how to read the Bible that could not even read. I'm talking about people who came up and didn't even go through school, but God would teach them how to read the Bible.
That's right. Smith Wigglesworth, an illiterate plumber, never read a word in his life, and God supernaturally taught him to read.
And
just to read the Bible.
He was one of the wisest men that ever lived, because he knew how to hear the voice of God, and you had to follow God. And God would lead him and direct him by His Spirit in everything that he did. He just learned right from the beginning, when he got born again, how to hear the voice of God.
Yep. And that's exactly what verse 20 is telling us. We are ambassadors of Christ, as though God did beseech you. The word beseech means beg. Mm-hmm. He said, I'm begging you. We pray you in Christ's stead. Think about that. In Christ's stead. What did Jesus do in His natural earthly ministry? He went about healing, laying hands on the sick, preaching the gospel. The word says, preaching, teaching, and healing.
Yeah.
That was His ministry on the earth. All right, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled unto God, for He, God, hath made Him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin. In other words, Jesus never committed a sin.
That's right.
He lived a sinless life. Only person that ever has lived a sinless life. Yet God made Him to be sin. Well, where'd that sin come from? It came from us. Mm-hmm. He took our sin, and then it said that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Now, I've never committed any righteousness.
That's right.
I've committed sin, but I haven't committed righteousness. But Jesus never committed sin. He was righteous.
Yeah.
So what happened is the great exchange took place. We got His righteousness, and then He got our sin. Now, that's not a fair trade.
No.
I understand that. But He did that on purpose. He did that because He took our sin, all of mankind's sin, and then we were made the righteousness of God in Him. Mm-hmm. And that's it. We're in Him. That's what we started with. We're in Christ.
But you know what?
Now we're the righteousness of God.
Yeah. All this comes around to saying that God made us righteous in Him, and so therefore we're in Him and we're righteous.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not anything we've done, but it's what God has done through Jesus Christ.
And it's available.
And it's available to everyone who will just simply do what?
And that is our ministry, to show them that God has reconciled us to Him, us, the world, to Him. And all we got to do is receive Him as Lord.
That is the simplicity of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The rest of it we can work out and we can study and we can be discipled.
And there's a lot of interesting things to study.
Oh, yeah.
That's the key right there.
But this is the key. This is how simple the gospel is.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
Mm.
Absolutely.
Real awesome.
And that's the thing. Everything else is gravy.
Mm-hmm.
It's all good, but we've got to start out being born again, reconciled to God, the righteousness of God. Once we understand all of that, everything else in the Bible falls into place.
Yeah.
It's not a mystery to us as believers. It's a mystery to the world. It's a mystery to Satan. Satan doesn't understand this. It's all gibberish to him.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, I tell you, we understand it, and we get more and more out of it because the Holy Spirit's the teacher. He's in us, and He teaches us these
things.
That's
right.
That's how we know it.
God is teaching us more today. We have more revelation today than ever before, and it's awesome. Last couple of years,
it really is.
Especially, has really been good. Bill, if there was anything that you could say I just want to think about this scenario, that there's somebody watching us right now that they're kind of sniggering. They're saying, I don't know about all of this. Mm-hmm. What? How could you? Now, you can't use religious talk. What you've got to do is get on their level and be able, as far as, you know, we it's not that we're on a higher level, but on a level of their reasoning, and get them to understand what would be the simple way to get somebody to understand that they need to just give their heart to Jesus.
Well, I think that the big thing that a non-believer needs to look at is, where am I at now? Mm-hmm. What is my life like now? Is it really as good as you think it is? Oh, I love to party. I love this. But look deep in your heart and think, could it really be better? Yeah. Well, what would be better? Peace. That's it right there. Mm-hmm. People who are in the world just do not have peace. They may say, oh, I love my life. I have a good life. That's good. But there's no peace, mm-hmm. no real peace with God. You know, I have thought about, I've had friends and acquaintances that have passed away, and I've thought, you know, well, what would it really be like to go home and be with the Lord? And I thought, wow, that's great. That's exciting. Mm-hmm. That's not how the world thinks. The world thinks, oh, no, dying. That's terrible. That's final.
Well, it's a fear.
There's no peace. It's fear.
There's a fear behind all of that.
And that's the difference. The world operates in fear the way the Christian operates in faith. Mm-hmm. Fear and faith are reciprocals. And they just, you know, it's like the old bumper stickers and things you see on the back of cars that says, no fear. The world keeps trying to get out of fear. They're talking about how they don't want to live in fear. And they're always proclaiming they have no fear. But deep down inside, there's fear, there's lack of peace. Christians really do live with no fear. Mm-hmm. You can't bother me talking about death. It doesn't affect me because I know where I'm headed.
Yeah.
And some people say, well, how can you know? Because the Bible says that you may know that you have eternal life. Mm-hmm. Not hope, not imagine, not, well, I hope so. None of that stuff. That's not this faith that we're talking about. The kind of faith we're talking about says, I know that I'm born again. I know I'm going to heaven. That's peace. Mm-hmm. That's real peace. And then beyond that, that's just the sweet by and by aspect of it. The living right here and the rotten here and now is great.
Yeah.
Because everything around us, we're shielded from by faith.
How many times have you been to a funeral and you see so many people agonizing because they lost a loved one? And even in situations, I know you lost your dad, and mm-hmm. I've lost my mom, and I know we didn't lose them because we know where they are.
But, oh, yeah.
But the thing is...
And see, that's the great thing. I've had people tell me, how could you preach at your own dad's funeral? Because they knew we were extremely close. And I said, well, he'd already died once mm-hmm. on the operating table and told me he went to heaven, told me the whole story, how he saw Jesus, literally. And then Jesus told him, if you go back now... So there's some young people there on the earth, being the doctors, that won't get in trouble. But if you stay, they'll probably get in some trouble because he'd been in a situation that was bad. There was some negligence there. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, I've worked with young people my whole life. He said, I guess I'll go back. And he went back and was alive physically. But he told me, he says, I don't have any doubt where I'm going. I've been there. And we talked about it a lot. And the thing is, once he did go on to be with the Lord... I was upset. You were with me that day.
Right, yeah.
I was upset. I lost my dad in the natural. There was a bit of grieving. But then I understood he's home now.
Yeah.
And so I preached at his funeral, and we had a glorious time. Mm-hmm. But again, that's the difference between the world and the believer.
That's that peace.
The peace.
The peace.
The knowing.
Yeah. And the Bible calls it a peace that passes all understanding. That's what we're talking about.
And that's exactly what we're talking about because it's not natural understanding.
No.
It's understanding what the Scripture says. It goes back to what you said in last week's program about how we know God. And mm-hmm. if we know God and know His personality, we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to walk in fear because we know who God is and what His plans and nature is toward us. Mm-hmm. And that's just such a tremendous thing as a believer to have that resource, that depth of resource of peace and understanding and knowledge. You know, I go back to the Scripture that says we know all things. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's all available to us. Knowledge of the world and how it operates is available to us that isn't available to the world.
Yeah.
And... it can be frustrating sometimes because you watch the news and you listen to people talk and you think, Oh, come on, folks. How can you think that when the Bible says it so plainly and we understand what the truth is? Mm-hmm. And they, you think you know it. I don't think I know. I do know. And people say, well, you're arrogant. You think more of yourself than you should. No, I think more of God than of myself. Doesn't come from me, but it's wisdom that comes from God. It's knowledge that comes from God. It's a deep understanding of the things of God. And therefore, there's no fear typically comes from the unknown. Mm-hmm. But the known is peace and knowledge.
That's right.
And wisdom.
You know, I just sense that there's people out there, and I believe this is by the Holy Spirit, that there's people there that's watching this program that all you can say is, I'm afraid of this, I'm afraid of that, and you're all the time in fear, and all the time you're dealing with this, and you're really not a happy person, even though you want to be. I mean, you have some happy moments probably, but you're not a happy person, and nobody can do anything with that except God. And God, if you'll turn that over to God and stop saying, and this is the word, don't say anymore, I'm afraid of, and I'm afraid of this, and I'm afraid of that. But begin to get into your word, into the Bible. In fact, I believe I'm speaking to a Christian, somebody who is just totally fearful as a Christian. Well, you're being deceived. And God has not given you the spirit of fear, but He's given you the spirit of love and peace and a sound mind. And so that does not belong to you. All you need to do is renounce that and go to God and say, God, you spoke to me through that broadcast today, and I'm not going to fear anymore. And work at that and begin to say things differently. When you think I'm afraid of something, say, you know what, I'm not afraid anymore. Just turn that around. And what it does, it disarms the devil. And it disarms his power. If he has any power over mm-hmm. us, it's going to be through deception.
That's
and
right.
You don't have fear. God has not given you fear, but he's given you joy, and he's given you hope, and he's given you peace. And so walk in that. And if you'll read and study his word, go to Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these other things be added unto you. Stop saying, I'm afraid.
Absolutely.
And that is a good...
That person you're speaking to, you know, what happens when you're in a situation like this is a spiritual gift called the word of knowledge. We know things that we don't have access to in the natural, but we know it by the Spirit of God. That person that you're talking mm-hmm. to right now, they need to understand that what they're hearing that is contrary to the Word of God, they need to get away from that.
That's right.
Where you go to church is a matter of life and death.
And we invite you to come and be a part of this church if you don't have a church to go to. And remember this, that we love you. God loves
Absolutely.
You. And Brother Bill loves you. And we just want to see you in the kingdom of God, enjoying your fellowship with one another and with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is your guide. He's your teacher. He'll lead you into areas that will absolutely set you free. And you'll look back in 2 or 3 years from now, and you'll say, I did not know that's what I was living in then. And God has set me free, and there'll
Absolutely.
Be joy restored into your heart. And you'll be able to have a laugh in your voice. You'll be able to smile. You'll be able to do all of those things. And remember, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. God bless you. We'll see you the next time.
Amen.
I trust you enjoyed today's message. I want you to write me here at Word of Faith Ministries. Our address, once again, Word of Faith Ministries, P.O. Box 5213, 5213, High Point, North Carolina, 27262. Of course, you can always write me at my email address, and I'd encourage you to do that. It's quicker. You can get to me, you know, much faster than through regular, snail mail, as we call it in the computer world, but regular printed mail. But, I'll take it either way. Praise the Lord. I want to hear from you. Our email address is drbill, D-R-B-I-L-L, at WFM.org. And as I've said before, you need to go to WFM.org because there's a tremendous number of resources available there for you. Articles, information that I believe will be a tremendous blessing to you and to those folks that you know that need to hear the Word of Faith message. Because it's the word of faith that we preach. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, join us next time. Be sure to tell folks about this netcast, about the Word of Faith radio broadcast that airs on WFR.org. Monday through Friday at 11:30, right after Kenneth Copeland, 11 o'clock. And, of course, also join us for that broadcast, because I believe that will also minister to you tremendously. And then join us next week. Remember, until then, to fulfill the Word of God.